And welcome back to another episode of the Talking Para podcast, live on Facebook, and it will be on YouTube as well. Round 16 of the Telstra Premiership. Probably have a little bit of a State of Origin talk as well, but we've got four people in the house tonight. We're one man down, but in the house tonight we have Maddie Tate from M. Tatey Sports TV. We've got Joel from League of Inches. We've got myself, Troy, from the Para Cave podcast. And we have the illustrious host, Adam. Now, Adam, where is our other panel member, Hayden, from the Entertain House?
I don't know. Where is he? I just assume we were one down just to go with the theme this week of the Parramatta Eels and having to replace people left, right and centre. We couldn't find a replacement. So I just assumed either that or Ricky Stewart took over and he was sitting out to play his big game next week. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe he got the call up for Queensland Origin. Who knows?
Believe it or not, Hayden has gone to a movie preview of The Flash. So obviously a big fan. Bigger fan of The Flash than he is Parramatta, apparently. But we won't judge him. We're all entitled to our own life away from football. And sometimes we need to take that break away from football, that's for sure. But we'll obviously miss Hayden tonight. Hopefully some of his viewers will still tune in. And we'll be sure to make a couple of jokes at his expense on the way. Let's start, though. Obviously, yesterday, look, it's always good when you've got a Tuesday night podcast and a Monday game because it's fresh in your mind. So unlike last week's show where I had no voice, this week I've got half a voice. But this week I can actually remember the game because I was there yesterday. It was obviously a good time. Always a good time at a call. Look, it's not a great stadium to go to. It took us about 2 hours 45 to get there because of the holiday traffic on the way down. And then it took us an hour to get out of the car park. Oh, man, I'm never going there again, eh? The next time I go, there will be a grand final. So I took away from a good game with an annoying two-year-old in the back who wanted to sing every song from every Cocomelon show on the way home. But we had a great time. We got a win was the most important thing. As I said, it was always going to be a huge crowd there. I want to give credit to the Bulldogs fans. They turned up in massive numbers. I actually thought there'd be more Parramatta fans than Bulldogs fans because that's usually the case. It was last year, but they turned up in massive numbers. But 33,000 for 12th versus 15th. Imagine if those teams were first and third. There would have been 50 or 60,000 people there. It's just incredible to turn up. And I hope that King's birthday Monday, which still seems weird to say, King's birthday Monday continues to be a tradition now with the Bulldogs. Because we're going to go, yeah, well, it was. That's what we'll get to. Let's get to the game. I won't talk first because I was at the game, so I'll get Joel to go first. Joel, your thoughts on the game?
Oh, how good was it? Normally, I like to sort of keep a bit mellow, but I remember last year when the Dogs gave it to us.
Hang on, stop. You like to keep it mellow?
I was going to say, that's not where the group chat was going.
Did you
Google what the word mellow means before you say it next time?
Look, in celebrations, I don't like to feed opposition fans and things like that. I like to be fair. But I remember last year, Dogs absolutely fed us. Like, they won the grand final when they got us. And I just want to say, suck shit. And that's the Doggies, they all talk, big talk. They said that we were there for the taking. No Dylan Brown, no half of our forward pack. You saw them sitting there on the sideline. And look, no Hodgson, which was obviously a huge blow for the side. We'll get to that. But it was just a great performance. We started on like really fast. That was probably one of our best starts, even though the Dogs did score that one probably average try, it was fair to say. Defence was pretty soft there. But, overall, there's a lot of positives. There is a couple of little things that we'll obviously get to and some names that I'll mention a bit later. But it was great to watch a power performance like that. And to see the King on his birthday celebrate with a hat-trick, how good.
I wonder who that could be going to bag out. Look, before we continue, can we just go to the comments, Matt? Can you just bring up Jake S.E. Jordan's comment? Because it's the first comment up every week. I'm going to make him a little deal. S.E., Jake, Jordan, whatever you want to be called, I'll get you on this show next week, all right, if you promise to do the show on your budgie smuggler, all right? Can we make that deal? Is everyone happy with that? If you sit there and do your budgie smuggler, I'll do the show after, the week after with my shirt off. So write back in your comments. We'll flash up everyone to see. That would be a good deal. All right, Matt, your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was good. I was a bit – when it got back to 6-all, I thought, oh, here we go again. Because it was just a soft try. Like, just, what, five forwards couldn't get down a 5-8? But, yeah, it was – It was a good game. It's always good to you see the Bulldogs. I haven't hit the rant button yet. Calm down. It's good to see, like, you saw the Bulldogs leading up to it all over social media, saying it was going to be revenge from last time, and it probably should have been more. We should have went on with that game. There was a few just stupid trying to score off every play. We had the same ref as Cowboys. Let's not get into that one. Who just clearly doesn't know rules.
Liam Kenny.
It was
a bit of sickness tonight.
It was an entertaining game. Everyone's got the flu, so yeah, it was good.
Yep. Troy, watching there at the Power Cave, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a great game. I thought, Gutho with his three tries, outstanding. Mitch Moses helped him score one of those tries, which is good. I thought Arcee had a good game, his first up game in the blue and gold. His first major run led to a try, which was good. I thought Ogden was good again as well with his charges off the bench when he came on the field. There was more good quick play the balls as well, which led to a lot more room out in the backs as well, which was good to see. Cardi, your mate Cardi, Matty, he had a great game again. I thought that strip penalty was a bit of a momentum one. I thought...
Can I just get to that one?
Yeah.
Burton's hand came free of the ball. As it was touching Cartwright, it should have been knock on anyway.
Yeah, it should have been knocked on anyway, but
that was right in front of us. I saw that live and thought he knocked that on straight away live.
Yeah.
See the video, even the video ref.
So, anyway, we're gonna get to some referees' decisions later because I want to talk about that because I didn't think it was great. But anyway, Troy, continue.
I thought it was a bit of a strange decision to go for the field goal before half time. I don't know whether that was just sort of because we were so far in front, that was just a bit of practice or... I thought we might have kept the rolling and gone for another try. Down Will and Russell's side, the Bulldogs seemed to find a bit of space down there a few times, which was a bit concerning. But, look, other than that, it was a good win. It was a must win, and they got the win. Good for and against as well. So, rolling into Manly this week.
Yeah, for sure. I just had the for and against. And obviously, it puts us in the ninth spot. A win this week puts us in the eight, which looked very... not impossible, but a few weeks back looked unlikely. I'll go through my thoughts quickly because you've obviously touched on some big points there. First of all, I want to give Bailey.
Well, you guys are panicking.
I'm still panicking looking at the draw we've got. Like, if we drop some of those games we shouldn't drop, I'll be panicking. Like, we can't afford to drop this week, for example. There's games that we can't drop, and if we do drop them, it means we've got to win those games at the back end, and that's what we're looking forward to. We're not looking forward to. Hang on, let me word that again. That's what we're talking about when we're panicking. Those tough games we've got at the end of the year, and those away games we've got. So we're being realistic. We'll say that, which is very hard when you're one Ideals fans. Look, I'll go through it. Bailey Simonson, he's getting better and better every week, isn't he? He's finally reached his potential. We've always heard Bailey is the quickest person in the club. We never saw it. And then it's the way when Arcee made that break and loomed up in support and was there for it. He's making so many meters out of trouble. Defensively, he's so much more solid than centres. And look, I think the search for centres is over because I don't think we need one. I think with Will and him, we've got options there long term. People forget how young Bailey actually is. What is he, about 24? Well, he was pretty young when he came to us.
23, I think.
Yeah, I knew he was about 22, 23 when he came. I'm going to look that up as I talk. But for me, he's a long term option there now, obviously, with some good players coming through as well through the development systems.
Multitasking, you're good.
I'm pretty good, eh? He's 25, so either way, he's still quite young.
To be fair, I think he only turned 25 like a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
I thought he was about 23, 24 when he came to us. So,
happy birthday, Bailey.
Happy birthday, Bailey.
You want me to look at that up as well? Bailey Simonson's birthday, just in case Matt was completely wrong, was it 18th of February? So it was 4 months ago. But no, look, going through the game, look, there's obviously some frustration. You never like to bag out a referee. You don't like to bag out a referee when you lose because it looks like you're making excuses. When you win, you can turn around and bag out a referee. And I'm not saying that we didn't deserve 8 penalties, but we got 2 penalties for the game. One was for a high shot and one was for a second effort in the last 5 minutes. Then we got 2 6-agains. There wasn't many 6-agains in general. But the concerning thing for me was some of the penalties that should have been given, once again, it was the same as the Canberra game. You can't say one team's perfect and say the other team is nowhere, you know, is so ill-disciplined, because we can't be so inconsistent every week. And the amount of times they slowed our play, the ball down with second efforts, and so many on Sivo, Bailey and Russell making those first 2 or 3 runs, the amount of second efforts on them were just disgraceful. So for me, I thought we should have won the game by more. As you said, though, we made a lot of errors. I think we made 15 errors. We completed about 66%. Some of that was probably a lack of patience, and I guess other parts of it were probably just to do with a little bit of lack of respect for the opposition when we got so far ahead. I think we tried to push a little bit too much. One team I want to talk about is the Bailey Simonson, the Michael Sivo second no try. It's grinding my gears, and it's really grinding my gears because...
Got that ramp button, handy, Matty.
Well, Joel might go. Now, Joel have his own rant, but look, to me, the obstruction play for years has just been so wrong, and it's so inconsistent. It's really starting to piss me off because Bailey did everything by the book then. He got through the line and he continued to get through the line. It's not his fault if the play keeps moving. He becomes a support player when the play keeps moving. There was a point he got in front of the player, so yes, he wasn't a support player, but that's his fault if we put a kick through or something like that. But to say that the 5'8", whatever his name is, I can't say his name, was taken out because he was next to Tevita Pengai. Mate, Tevita Pengai and whoever the other winger was got a chance to the fullback to make a tackle on Micah and got nowhere near him. You cannot say that he was going to get there and make that tackle. I know it didn't.
He gave up.
He gave up. He was never going to get there anyway, though. If Tevita Pengai could come across and make a tackle on Micah, there's no way that the 5'8 was going to. That's what pisses me off, because it's just the common sense factors going out the game. Like, that was huge for Micah's confidence, that try. He actually took a mind on for once, did what he used to, backed himself. So he's obviously been given a rocket. We've been calling for it. We've been saying he's been doing stupid things like cutting back on the inside and stopping. He took him on, he put his body on the line, and he turned around and got the try taken off him. So I hope he's learned from it. I hope he realised that's what he's got to do, because obviously it's not his fault it wasn't a try. But I don't know. Anyone going to say on that? Some of the decisions and some of the things in the game, you mentioned the Cardi one. The
script, to me, if Bailey runs that line and then stops,
yes,
does that play is still not? You can see that player is not even trying to get around Bailey to get to him.
Like, but then they'll pull him up on it anyway, because the rule is if you stop in the defensive line. So he kept going. This is the whole confusing thing there, and the NRL needs to clear it up. Is that Bailey kept going through, so he wasn't impeding anyone. It's not his fault Oluwapu chose to run into him when he was Oluwapu decided
to. It's not his fault that their defensive line was so staggered either.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they had a full straight line, it wouldn't have been an issue. But they were so staggered. I'm fully expecting Anderson to come out and say they got that one wrong, which he probably won't, because there's clearly a gender against Parramatta, and we'll get into that, because there is. we'll go that after the game, because I've had enough. We've been sitting back not saying much. We blame draws and stuff. Like, we're on another 5-day turnaround now. Another 5-day turnaround after a Monday game. Like, that's just ridiculous.
And we don't have a bye before an Origin game.
Yeah.
Only club not to.
There's so much you can look at, and you can say it's an oversight by the NRL, like it was randomly done by a generator. They're full of shit. I don't know what it is. I don't know who's pissed off who. But you look at things like that, and you look at the Dylan Brown situation, the fact that Dylan Brown's been stood down when he really shouldn't have been. There's something going on for some reason they don't want Parramatta to achieve.
I think there's a new segment, Adam's anger.
I think
it's been building.
I think we just sell papers, mate. That's all it is. We just sell the game. We don't have Uncle Nick there with the brown paper bags to the NRL everywhere.
Because we're Westies.
We don't have a Gus figure in the media shooting down every time, so they're scared. So we just have people like O'Neill in the background who leak things to the media constantly, and that way, that's enough about that.
But I mean, even the so-called Fox Sports experts, commentators, they said it was a try as well, because, I mean, Oluwapu was 20 metres in field and was never going to make a tackle.
Yeah, well, look at... He would never stop Steve-O, even if he got there. Like,
yeah, for him to say in the for the bunker to say, we think he would have got there and made the tackle. Well, that's a big claim.
That's but 20 meters away. Yeah,
I couldn't think of many people in the NRL that would have got there to make the tackle. Unlike,
but there was four other players standing around him that could have sprinted across and got there.
Can you put that one?
Yeah, that's a good comment. That one.
It's true. That's what I was my brother joining from Japan with the Konnichiwa as well.
Yeah, Konnichiwa, Mika.
Yeah. Anyway, look, we'll look at that one. We can talk about the Moses one as well, the charge down. He probably was offside. I'd like to see it again. I would have liked to see it, but I thought it was
probably borderline.
It was borderline, but if they actually slowed that down and watched it on the bunker like I did when I got home, Reid didn't pick up the ball straight away. Now, the rule isn't when the ball's picked up. The rule is when the ball is out of the scrum. And the referee should have clearly yelled out, which he couldn't hear on the replay, which they're meant to do as part of their refereeing job. But I would have liked that one to see go to the bunker, put the ball down, then review it. And if it's no try, it's no try. We live with that. But just to blow the whistle straight away and make the call on it, and then for Burton's little dog act after, well,
that led to a melee. That's a fine, isn't it?
Well, so it was a sin bin on Saturday night.
So, oh, and they got fined as well.
They got fined. I got fined for throwing for splashing water at someone. What's this game come to, honestly?
What did they get? That was just, whatever.
But, yeah, I mean, a lot of people were surprised that Mitchell didn't put the ball down, but he's obviously heard the whistle and obviously plays to the whistle, but he probably should have just put the ball down anyway.
Probably, yeah. Especially after Burton pulled his pants down last year at that same game at that same ground. So
in that same in goal.
Yeah, deja vu. Anyone got anything to add from obviously the refereeing decisions, errors, something along those lines? So I've got another controversial opinion to bring up.
Just on what you were talking about with the play the balls and things like that in the ruck. This is obviously Paris supporter. We've got our say and our bias with that. But I feel like it's a game problem as well, is that I see it week in, week out. It's like the referees go out and choose when they're going to focus on the ruck and when they're not, and it just gets let go. And then you watch the game afterwards and they're pinning everything in the ruck and play the ball. There was dead set, as you said, Adam. There was probably about 10 or 15, and that's being light, where the dogs could have been pinged. And it seriously halted the momentum we had, yet it's just allowed to play on, which is ridiculous.
Year we had the slowest play the ball speed out of any team. And there's no coincidence that the games we lost, the teams were quite obviously seeing our play the ball getting slowed down.
Is that a sort of a call for a second referee on the field? Go back to those days?
There has to be. Yeah. If it continues like this, there's a few higher ups calling for it now, because the amount of times I saw in our game yesterday where a player third man in flopped while the player was on the ground, there was a clear one where they done it and Guffo's doing this and yelling at the ref and the ref just played on. Like, how is even the commentator was saying it was a clear flop? Like, it's just,
it's. Like I said, I don't blame the referees. There's too much they're being asked to police now. So, yeah, I agree, Troy. And I said it a couple of weeks ago when we had that big referee rant, they need to go back to two referees because there's too much they have to police and it's not their fault. And either that or the bunker needs to step in on, as I've said, more or nothing. At the moment, it's in between. Let's move on from that because we don't want to see like two bigger whinges. I'm going to put a bit of controversy out here now.
Really?
Yeah. From the start of the year, we've been scoring enough points. Obviously, our defence has worked. One of my biggest criticisms was our back line looked clunky. We didn't look smooth through our back line. We saw a nice play with that Moses Gutho try, which we haven't seen run since 2017. It's the one they used to run with Will Smith, very similar play. Wasn't run
against Storm.
He didn't do the no look flick pass, but he just done the.
It wasn't no look. It was just He probably didn't have the confidence because we actually ran that the week after against the Cowboys and they took an intercept. So it's one of those things.
6 years ago.
It is 6 years ago, but he's brought it back out and it was a very similar play. It's nice to see us doing our plays. What I want to talk about is the actual backline move and the try that Mike has scored. Now here's my controversy. are we a better backline team, and does our backline look smoother without Dylan messing up our backline? Who wants to answer that?
Well, it's hard to tell after one game, isn't it?
Like, you know, I'm the biggest Arsy fan, so I'm gonna chime in here.
Yep.
When Arsy got the ball for that try, it was like he was slow motion. It was like everything stopped around him. He stopped, slow mo, double pumped, gave the ball out the back to Guffo, and it wasn't Dylan with a quick thing. He actually put the team in two minds what he was going to do. Because if you look, went one way, but then threw the ball a different way, kind of thing. Like, so it slowed the defense up to allow extra time around the thing where Dylan would have probably just caught and passed. Like,
but is that the unknown of Arsy from the Bulldogs? Like, not knowing how he plays, whereas they know how Dylan plays?
To me, they're the same player.
You've seen a lot of Arsy.
You look at, and I said it when he signed. I said he's Dylan Brown, mate. When we signed him, they put his head on Dylan Brown's body for the promo to say Arsy's signed. Like, that's how similar they are. But I feel Arsy's got a mad kicking game, and I'm kind of like pumped to see it this week because obviously he'll be doing all the kicking. But yeah, I reckon. See, to me, I'd put Arsy in there somewhere in attack, no matter what. Like, but we did look better and smoother.
It's been one game, like I said. So we've got against a team coming 15th, but just to me, and I've watched the game back, and I've watched the 20-minute highlight package as well this afternoon. On top of that, and obviously was there live. As you said, the good players, it's not a fluke that they get time on the ball and it looks like they have all the time in the world. They demand it by the things they do. Now, so many times we've ran a backline move in that situation, Dylan's either held the ball too long or stepped in and gone himself. To me, Arsy, he did exactly what he needed to. He gave Gutho the perfect ball. And I've had a lot of criticism about Gutho's final touches, Gutho's final passes for some of the tries or some of the no tries. I went back and watched a few other highlights, a few little packages this afternoon. And
lots of research, Adam. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
But did you have some Vaso with you?
Oh, no, I'm getting worse again, eh? I'm getting worse. But what I realised is that Dylan puts Gutho under quite a bit of pressure with his inability to pass the ball straight to him. So it's just one of those watch this space. I want to say it now, so I don't want to call it out for three or four games. Mate, Arsy could come out and have a shocker. There's a lot of pressure on him this week, and obviously no pressure on him. Needs to go if he does. You know, if he has a shocker, he's wearing a 7 jersey for the first time, he's going to be pretty much controlling the team. But just one thing I noticed, and I just thought we seemed a little bit better in our backline moves, and they didn't seem as clunky for the first time this year.
I think there's some sub-stat. I think he's about the 40th halfback since Sturlo retired to wear the number 7.
It's good we've been back to this.
Good we've gone this long with Moses, to be honest. All right, anyone got anything else to add from yesterday's game?
Nah, I just thought that, as you said before, I thought Bailey Simonson was probably, obviously, Gutho and Moses were the best.
Well, you might as well do it. Give me a player of the game and your moment of the game.
Yeah, well, obviously, Gutho and Moses were the players of the game, but I just, as you said.
You can't see the fence, you got to pick one.
Well, I thought Bailey was also right up there, so I'm going to go Bailey.
That's three.
And I'm going to say Bailey. Yeah. Because of his strong runs out of our end, his quick play of the balls, he's backing up as well to score that try. And as you said, I think he's just coming into form. It's taken him, what, a year and a half to get into what we would expect him to play. So,
it's five or six games in his best position.
Well, late last year, he was coming into that realm, but...
We actually got played in the centres,
So, Bailey for me.
Bailey. Joel, Andrew Davey?
Yeah, that's...
I forgot. Sorry.
The rant after this, we'll keep it positive for now. I feel like Moses has to get this one for this week just because of the pressure he was under going into that. I believe he was probably already told by Freddie it was his jersey.
He actually wasn't.
Still to play with that. and yeah. if he wasn't then, to know that there was legit two other candidates for that jersey at the same point in time, then that's just, especially if he got the cut above the eye, he got bashed up a bit early on and he could have gone in his shell. To see him come out of that side, take on someone like Pengai and do it twice in a row, he just stood up and made the big moments his, and it was great to see.
Yeah, interesting. I watched an interview with him. I don't know if it was the... We could tell in the NRL 360 interview after, he had no idea, but I think it was the one this morning. And he actually didn't get the phone call till after the game. So, because to me, and this is where we sit, I said, if Mitchell Moses knows he's playing Origin, Mitchell Moses won't perform today, because he'll have that in the back of his mind. And I also thought when we were up 34-6 with 10 minutes to go, whatever, 34-12, whatever it was, 10, he would have been taken off the field if he knew he was playing Origin. So to me, he obviously, yeah, he didn't know. And it shows, like you said, he's matured a lot as a player, hasn't he? Because he would have let those moments get to him. Matt, yours?
Yeah, I've got to go, Mitch. We've obviously honourable mention to Bailey. But yeah, I'm going to go Mitch because of the pressure that was on him and the fact that he allowed Arcee to chime in when he wasn't, and he controlled it and actually stepped up knowing that he had to without Dylan there. And yeah, it was good to see. And yeah, we've been calling for that Moses for a while, and we've seen glimpses, but it's starting to really, really take shape now. And now that he's signed his deal and he actually wants to, his goal to win a premiership, obviously. So it's pretty much on him and Guffo.
Well,
so.
It's interesting to hear Mitchell say today that how BA has developed him into this player that he is today. Like, he knows what to do now, whereas at the time,
well, when he come to the club, he couldn't tackle. Now he's tackling everything.
Yeah, like, yeah, but also when he was at the Tigers, he didn't know what to do on the field. There was no structure, or he didn't know if he should do something like that. But yeah, he's given BA credit in terms of developing him into the player that he is today.
He should be getting to his best year now as a maturing player as well. That's the scary thing about it. Look, I'm going to give, I know he's mentioned Moses, I thought he was superb, and obviously I've already mentioned Bailey, but I'm going to give it to Gutho. So just watching the game live, not just because he scored a hat-trick on his birthday.
Gutherino, a bit disappointed about
that. We know it wasn't his actual birthday, but it was up there with Peter Siddle's hat-trick on his birthday. But to me, watching the game live, I spent a bit of time watching what Gutho was actually doing off the ball. And for me, we've always spoken about how much effort Gutho makes. He's all effort. He's all
Joel's hard. Gone.
Oh,
Peter Siddle's got a hat trick on his birthday. Greatest sporting moment ever.
Banana eating vegetarian.
Anyway, Gutho, just the way he joined in those backline moves, he was constantly there in support. Even on the Bailey Simonson try, he was there on the inside. He could have had four tries if Arcee looked on the inside to him. It's that little things we haven't been seeing from him for a while. It looks like we know he's the fittest person in the club. We know he makes all the effort.
Can I just honourable mention that he broke, not to mention he broke bloody Marnie's ankles?
There's your X factor.
There's your X factor, yeah, 100%.
Oh, is that what you're doing? I thought you were doing no deal.
Nah, there's your X factor.
Right.
Oh, the X factor, all right.
All moment this talk. All this talk about him, you don't want. The way we play, he just suits us down to the T, and I just don't know why it keeps coming up about getting an extra player into. Gutho is the essential fullback what we need at the moment, and I honestly would not replace him for many other
moments. To me, I reckon they've got the plan like Lockyer, where it starts at fullback and finishes at.
Yeah, down the track, 100%. Yeah. Not at the moment, though. At the moment, he's peak fullback.
I think he'll ever go to 5'8". I think he's got the ball playing.
He'll go centre.
Would he have been close for Origin, do you think?
I reckon he would have been.
He's not one of the boys.
Take that out.
He has an affiliation with Penrith or the Roosters. Anyway, moving on from that, I'm going to go my moment of the game. My moment of the game was the Bailey Simonson try. It was just good to see Arcee back himself. As I said, it was a very Dylan Brownish try. Put that footwork on, went straight through, and Bailey's there in support. And it's always good to see a young kid have an effect, obviously, in his club debut. Joel, yours?
My moment of the game is the fact that we can actually get these short dropouts back consistently. It feels like it's like we've actually gone to training and worked out a way to make sure we get the ball, and it's fantastic to see because I was calling for it the other week. So
even the Bulldogs short dropouts.
It's not,
yeah,
it's
that's what I mean. We've actually
not put Sean Lane there to stand there and
no. It's actually Gutho's actually going up for it and actually getting the ball and competing. So it's fantastic to see we're actually doing it. Good boys.
Yeah. Matt?
My moment of the game actually was Gutho catching the Burton bomb with a player all over him as he was falling over. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
It was ridiculous. And then was yelling at the ref because it should have been a penalty. Because the player had grabbed him before he got the ball, so.
What are those bombs like live, Adam? Are they actually going as high as we think?
Oh,
you know, he actually didn't connect one decently yesterday, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think
so. The ones he was connecting at.
I don't think he hit one cleanly. They all set. And look, the first two or three kicks he had, we put no pressure on him, so it's a surprise. I really think we did miss Josh Hodgson in that regard. Sorry, Joel. But that's one thing he's excellent at, is his kick pressure. Troy, your thoughts? Your player moment of the game?
Oh, well, you know I'm not a fence sitter, so my moment of the game was my moments was Gutho's first three tries in, what, 10 minutes
moments,
or something?
Yeah, okay.
In 10 minutes. I mean, what a great...
Well, you have to pick one try. Pick one try.
Well, not the first one, obviously, because that was a bit of a dubious one. Probably the second one, I reckon. Go the second
there
one.
There you go.
Go the second try. But no, nice, but play. Three tries in 10 minutes, yeah. That's just to
the
get
set,
off to that good set, start.
The set play, because they knew Hayes Perrin will overrun the play, thinking Mitch was going outside, and then...
Well, he got to meet it, didn't I? Penguin was set out with a clear task of taking out Mitch and putting as much pressure on Mitch as he can, and Mitch just made him look like a reserve grader, kind of like Queensland to do him in Origin. All right, let's go through our bowl predictions for the week. Obviously, full-time score was 34-12. Joel went 20-10. Matt went 28-12, so Matt's now the 12. Hayden, 22-12. Troy, 42-8. I went 34-10, so I reckon that's the closest I've ever gone on a score prediction.
It's close, so but not exact.
It should have been 40, just saying.
It should have been 40, 100%.
So then I would have been closer.
Yeah. Yeah, technically, yeah. Anyway, you weren't, so that's 1 point, Adam. First try scorer, I went Mitchell Moses. Troy went Bailey Simonson. Hayden went Will Penasini. Matt went Arcee, and Joel went Junior. Look, I was going to say, Gutho seems to have a bit of a habit of scoring the first try against the Dogs lately, and none of us predicted it, eh? He seems to always find tries against the Dogs, and not one of us got there.
And but, on the King's birthday, too.
I know, on his birthday, just like Peter Spittle. Bowl prediction, Adam went any player to score a hat-trick. No, I went Sivo hat-trick. I wish I went Gutho hat-trick. It would have been perfect. But Sivo hat-trick. Troy went Reid Sinbin. Hayden went Sivo score only in the last 10 minutes. So he scored in the 65th. Matt went Arcee three tries. So he got two. And Joel went Moses to score 14 points. Now, this was actually highlighted in another group, Joel.
How does Moses...
You've gone 20-10 and Moses to score 14 points. Can you talk me through that? When you've also, hang on, stop. You also said Junior Paulo to score a try. So you've got 16 points to play with. How does Moses get 14 of the 16 points?
Because he would have gone off for HIA and Gutho took a conversion. Easy.
So he's, what's he done? He scored two tries and kicked a goal.
Yeah, 100. Oh, he's,
that's
10.
That doesn't work. That doesn't work. No one else can kick the other goal.
Well, yeah, whatever's happened. It just, he would have scored. He did. I almost got it. He scored 10 points. I was four off. That's pretty close. Give me a point. Thanks.
If he would have scored a try, he would have got 14 points.
No, it's not. Half time. 10. Half time. 14. Thank you. Move on. Well done.
You've embarrassed him now, Adam. Come on.
Jeez. Put a bit more thought into your prediction and your scoreline.
Adam, score. I haven't done my rant yet. You're starting to be in the headlights.
He was...
Take it away,
he was, no, you're, he yeah. was thrown off because you took his first try score.
Yeah, Moses. Why? Yeah, exactly. Oh, thanks, thanks, Matty.
No worries.
Thanks,
there
bro.
You go. Brother sticks up for you. There you go.
All right.
Thank you.
Get him going, Matt. We've got him rolled up now. Go.
Hang on, let me get it going.
Here we go. Andrew fucking Davey. honestly, beat me out. I'm sorry, guys, about the swearing, but
what we're live.
What has the bloke done to warrant this automatic selection in the 13? Like, he literally, if he were versing a better team like yesterday, his start to the game was atrocious and would have invited a better team like the Panthers, like the Storm, to get on the front foot straight away, because he literally just is so far out of his depth at the moment. It's not funny. I actually feel sorry for him, because it's sort of like, in a way, he feels like he's not part of the team there yet, and he hasn't earned his spot in a way. It's the way he's sort of carrying himself. But I don't know, if him and Brad go to each other's houses every night and cook each other dinner and play bloody handsies and stuff, who knows what he's doing. But we had the team... Who knows what they're doing?
What's Brendan there too?
Brendan's there as well. They're playing with him. where they can go somewhere.
To save you, Joel, I probably would have hooked him after that knock on. We saw him miss that tackle, and then he made the knock on. So I probably would have hooked him, gave him a rest.
This is what I think about is every time I've seen Dury, when Dury came on as well, I haven't seen Dury do anything out of the blue like that deserves getting dropped, let alone being replaced by Davey. Like, every time Dury's been on the field for us at first grade level, he's done his job and done it better than what Davey has shown so far. So I just really don't understand the whole fact there that BA continues to pick him. And once we've got our full-strength forward pack back, what's the bet Davey's still there at the bloody number 11 or 12? Like, it's just, we all know it's going to happen. And it's just a joke. Because...
He honestly can't be. It's got to be the way Cartwright's playing. I think Lane, let's not forget, Lane was playing pretty terrible before he got injured as well. Okay, so I'm hoping Lane comes back in a bit better form. But you're right. And like, I like Davey's a bloke, but it's obvious, Arthur, I've got my theory on it. And my theory obviously is because he was a player that was let go, then come back. It looks good to be playing him with all those players we lost. But the error was just inexcusable. I don't know if he's struggling for match fitness. It could be an age thing. He's obviously getting on in his career. Or maybe he's just never come back the same player since his ACL injury. But
what about the try that the dog scored? Sorry, I forgot about this bit. He was literally on top of Oluwapu or whatever the friggin' name is. And he was literally on him, tackling him. And then all of a sudden he lets a 5'8 out. Strength, like
a 19-year-old 5'8",
19-year-old playmaker who's done nothing yet. As soon as he's been at this level so far, there's been so many raps on him. He has literally done nothing, and he literally just ragdolled him off like he was the youngster.
Two rants into one there.
I think he was waiting for the penalty for the high, clear and obvious high shot, and it never came, so he didn't play the whistle there.
Play of the whistle.
Yeah,
like Moses.
Anything else, Dan? Thoughts on Josh Hodgson conveniently missing two games against the Dogs?
Well, my thoughts on Hodgson is the fact that, look, once again, he doesn't play and we've had our best start to a game. So I keep saying he doesn't even need to be there. And once Dill Brown gets back, I'd be starting Hands and Dejan Arce is your 14. End of story. Hodgson does not need to be in this side anymore. We've seen it every time Hodgson's on in the team, we have our best start to a game. So the proof's in the pudding.
And listeners and viewers, Andrew Davey will get a man of the match performance this week, because history shows that whichever player Joel revs up, they obviously watch or listen to the podcast and they come out and have a blinder. So put your money on Andrew Davey.
All right, moving on. Let's talk Origin quickly. First of all, massive congratulations to Junior Paul and Mitchell Moses. Bittersweetest Para fans. Wanted Moses there because he deserves the opportunity. Didn't want him there because we want to keep winning games. Obviously puts us in a pretty difficult situation this week without obviously him and Dylan there, missing Junior as well with a couple of other injuries. Getting a few players back helps. But look, I just want to say to all the haters out there, they bagged the absolute shit out of Mitchell Moses for his game 3 in, was it 2021, when he finally got the chance. Played 70 minutes with a broken back. Managed to get 2 try assists. I thought he played quite an excellent game in a dead rubber game. So, Mitch, I hope you come out and kill it, shut the haters up. You've got criticism your whole career. I don't know why. It started before the Parramatta stuff. I don't know if it's his size or the way you play the game, but a bit of advice is I hope he plays Origin like he plays for Parramatta. I hope he doesn't go out there and try and play a different style. We've seen all the coaches comment on his kicking game lately. He's probably got the best kicking game in the NRL. Look, obviously Cleary and Burton put up better bombs, but I think Mitch has got that long kicking game that can keep the team out of trouble, and his running game, he seems to back his strength and obviously go out there and play. We won't have much to add to that because we'll probably do a show on Tuesday to preview Origin anyway. But we had a bit of fun earlier in the day. We do like to have a bit of fun besides Joel blowing up at everyone. And we knew we were going to be short this week. So before the team was announced, we went through what our ideal team, well, not our ideal team, what our team would be for this week for our 1, 6, 7, 9. Now, also, I didn't know that Hodgson was going to be out, so I've obviously got that part wrong. But I'll go through, Troy. What did you say first to your 1, 6, 7, 9?
Yeah, so we did this about 11 o'clock this morning, so way before the teams were announced. Obviously, Gutho at number one. Who did I say at six? I can't remember. I had Russell at fullback, Gutho at 5'8", RC at halfback, and Hodgson at 9 before he wasn't named.
Yeah. Matt?
Yes, I had...
Actually, Scott, we've got to do this couple. Trey, your thoughts on why you did pick that as just buying?
Look, I thought maybe have a experienced half. Look, I know Matto has played 5'8" before, but I just thought maybe, and Gutho's not an experienced half, but he is an experienced player, so just have that in, have him in the halves with Arcy as well. Russell has played fullback before in lower grades as well, and then you just have, if he was fit, you'd have Hodgson back, and then that's what we've seen all this year, so that's why I went the way I did.
Mate, I'm going to leave yours to last, Joel.
I had Russell fullback, I had RC at 5'8", Gutho half, and Hands hooker.
Yeah, because you love Hands, obviously, we know that.
Yeah,
what your thoughts behind that? Obviously, you're changing up the spine there, moving Gutho.
Yeah, which is what I didn't want to do. I would have him defend at fullback, I thought, what I wanted to do. He was a lot more reliable. RC, I just wanted to keep RC away from that actual number 7 jersey and sort of keep a bit of pressure off him. He's still only early in his career with the Eels, and I didn't want to put too much pressure on him for now. And I think Gutho can handle it. We've seen in the press conference where he basically, as soon as the question was asked by the media, he just said, I'll do the number 7. He was keen.
I just think he wanted to answer a question because they didn't ask him a question. Yeah.
They never asked the players a question.
I just love his confidence with it. I just love his confidence with it. And obviously, we know why I chose Hands. So.
All right, Matt. So, Matt here, before Matt talks, I'll say this was one of the most popular options on all forums and all pages today was what Matt says at 5'8". And
can the viewers pick it?
Matt say it? I'm going to shut down why I think it was a terrible idea. Go, Matt.
So, Gutho at fullback. I had RC at 7, Hands at 9, and I had Bryce Cartwright at number 6.
Yes.
So besides the fact you want to have babies with the kid, the guy, why did you have Cardi at 6?
Because he's a ball player. He can ball play, and he's played 6 before. Like, he used to be a 6 at Panthers. And...
Joel's gone again.
I got the Eagles tonight.
What's in that water?
I just put it as he's played there before. Like,
so those of you with a coaching background like myself have actually picked what the spine was going to be, because besides the fact of Hodgson, because I didn't know he was out, and I knew that Arthur wouldn't have the balls to drop Hodgson, so obviously without injury has. But look, for me, moving Cartwright, although, yeah, he can play 5'8", Cartwright's probably in his career best form in the second row, and he's finally found that balance of hitting a line, hard running. He's fixed his defence majorly. And finally knowing when to pass or to push that pass, which he struggled with throughout his career, with stupid options. Look, he probably did one stupid thing on the weekend, which was that kick through when all he had to do was put the ball through the hands. And we were scored.
The fast pass out to Will where Will dropped it.
Yeah, 100%. But he's finally found that balance. So to me, moving Cartwright was not an option. So I went with Gutho, Madison, Arcy, and obviously I said I went with Hodgson, so I didn't completely nail it, but I just thought like Brad Arthur for a second. And it makes sense to me because Maddo's been out.
Surprised you didn't have Davey halfback.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, poor Blake Davey, mate. Jeez, he's going to have a big man of the match performance this week.
I'm backing him first try. I'll score this thing. So for me, Maddo's been out the team so much, and obviously with his suspension at the start of the year because he didn't want to pay a fine, and then he's been out injured, that it made so much sense to bring him back into 5'8". Maddo's always had the ability. We knew he was a junior. He was a junior Kangaroos, 5'8", half, coming through the junior system.
He played 5'8", all his Eels career. In the junior
20s and stuff.
Under 20s and stuff.
We essentially let him go because we didn't need half and we didn't see him being a long-term half. He's come back, obviously, has great ball-playing ability. I don't know what his kicking game's like. I know it used to be pretty solid, but I think Arcee's got a good enough kicking game there to cover that anyway. I think
Gutho will do some as well.
Yeah, well, Gutho loves a kick when he shouldn't kick the ball, so that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, he hasn't got a good kicking game. I think Hands needs to step out.
He'll do the dropouts.
Hands will slip in the six at some point, I reckon, as well.
Well, the benefit for us is the fact that we only have Daly Cherry Evans here. The fact that Daly Cherry Evans, to me, I'll go to it later when we go to teams, but having him out, he's the best kicker in the game. He's one I'd rate above Moses. He's got that ball on a string and puts it where he wants to. Moses has probably a longer and more powerful kicking game than him, but Taylor Cherry-Evans' placement is just unbelievable. So I don't think we're going to get stuck into a kickoff, hopefully. And if we do, obviously, we've got to put a bit back to Arcee. But I'm looking forward to seeing Madison at 5'8". I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do there. We've seen him slot in there with some injuries, you know, throughout the games at times. And I can't remember what game that was. I think it was a game last year he ended up at 5'8".
Yeah, Brown went off injured or something, or concussion. And
well, we know his defence is pretty solid, so...
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
I don't think, to be honest, I don't think he plays 5'8 in attack. I think Gutho will slot in.
Mix it up.
Yeah. I'd rather see...
Maddo would be another running middle.
Yeah.
Well, he plays as a ball-playing running middle anyway. So
he'll stay like really, that.
All he's got to do is get in the first receiver on our backline moves, let asking Gutho do the work anyway. Yeah. Like, you know, there's no difference between a half and 5'8 these days. They're playing left and right anyway, so... let's run through the team quickly. Backline unchanged in that back five. So Gutho, Sivo, Russell, Penasini, Simonson. As I said, Madison at 5'8", Arcee wearing the 7. As stated, the 40th person since still had to wear the 7. Hopgood at lock. Davey keeps his spot there in second row, well-deserved, and Cartwright, the other second rower. Ogden gets a start at number 10, which I like. Big body coming on replacing Junior Paulo. He's been really good since he got his chance back in first grade. Hands at 9, Campbell Gillard. Obviously returning his second game back. Already at 14, often Gowrie returns. Dory at 16, McIntyre at 17, and Jake Arthur at 8. No, I'm just joking. It's Hayes Dunster at 18. It's usually Jake Arthur. Extended bench of Murchie, Rodwell, big chance to make a debut. From Alienation, you know, wherever he's been. And Sean Glane in 22, they reckon he's a chance of playing. So... watch that space. It'll be interesting who he actually comes in the team for. You think it'd possibly be Moretti that drops out, if that's the case?
Yeah, I reckon Moretti drops out and maybe Lane off the bench, or Lane even start and they push Cardi to 12. Well,
let's not forget, Lane at the start of last year was playing a fair bit of front row as well. So if Lane does come on, there's a chance we could use him in the forwards as well, so... so watch that space, maybe even lock anywhere, really. So that's the team anyway. Look, I'll go through it. We don't usually do it, but I'll go through the Manly team just so you can highlight their team, because they've obviously got a lot of players out as well. There's no Trbojeviches.
They've got two.
So, there's what?
Two out this week.
Yeah, but they've got other players out injured. They've got no...
yeah, but they were out last week, Jake, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, they've got. I'm highlighting how weak their team is. Shut up, Troy. weeks at fullback. Tula Tupo on one wing, Saab on the other wing, Kula, Garrick, Schuster at 5'8", Arthur at 7, Kepi at lock, Fainu, Oli. Oh, mate. I've done
Ola Kawatu.
Ola Kawatu, 11. Sika, Croker, Sipley. And that's enough of that team. But
I'm glad you got Croker right. That was a hard one.
Thanks. What I want to highlight here is the weakness of their backline taking Daly Cherry-Evans and Turbo out. There's a lot of pressure on Jake Arthur. Schuster's not at all in out $1.2 million 5'8 like he thinks he is. And
saying that, when Schuster comes against his former club, the club that he's in love with, the club that he's watched ever since he was a kid, still goes to every game when Manly's not playing, and he comes up against us and he absolutely turns into Andrew Johns. Like,
well, we saw it round one this year, like when we played them. He was the man of the game.
$1.2 million
No, not that much. He's not worth that much.
He should come play for free if he loves the club that much.
What do you reckon is going to happen in these video sessions? Do you reckon Brad's going to pinpoint the weaknesses of his own son in the videos? Because
it's the first time he's coached against him ever.
That's what I mean. There's some definite weaknesses, and Brad knows him better than anyone. He's
against his weaknesses, shouldn't it?
Well, it's a good advantage. But
will he say it?
They still live together, don't they?
Nah, he's moved out.
No,
he has moved out.
Oh. Yeah, with his missus.
I say, Brad could play some mad mind games there, eh?
Just walk in and throw a para jersey at him every morning.
No, just kick him out of the house the night before you're out. So yeah.
No. I'm sure he'll ring him up and say, best of luck.
He'll probably drive him to the game.
Yeah, do you know where the game's played this weekend or?
I reckon there's a big target here, Garrick. He's been really good attack-wise, but defence, he's been lacking a bit since he's moved to centre. I've noticed it's a weak spot for him. So that edge, if we can target that edge, there's definitely some holes for us there.
Yeah, look, my biggest concern is Croker. Watching their game on Saturday night, I thought Croker was excellent. I think he's our player that we really need to stop. So I really need to be strong for that middle part there, which worries me because obviously we're a little bit weaker there without Paula and the injuries we've got. So if we can stop Craig, I think we'll win this game comfortably, in my opinion.
I think it's the guy that you spoke about that you couldn't pronounce his name, Olakau'atu, as well. I mean, before the Origin series, his name was mentioned as a possible New South Wales debutant. And
how's that going for him?
Well, he obviously hasn't been picked the last two games, has he? So
it's all right, Davey will close him down.
Well, will Davey give us the tips about his former club? Who knows?
Olakau'atu's an ex Para Junior as well, so, and he's still angry at the club for letting him go. So I don't know. I reckon I'm not worried about Olakau'atu missing Origin, New South Wales. I'm excited to see what Hopgood missing Queensland's going to do.
I don't think that'll worry him as much. I mean, obviously he'll be disappointed because Billy's obviously talking about him representing Queensland, but I just don't think he'll be that, that won't be driving him.
For people reading the comments, can we just highlight my brother's been on about a 7-day bender?
I was going to say.
So can we bring that second last one up? Because it could be a grand plan. Jake's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He doesn't even know it. And next level plan. It's not a plan. He's not a plan. He hasn't grown by BA from must win game coaching masterstroke.
No, I think he meant he's planted him at Manly.
He's planted him at Manly.
Yeah, planted him at Manly. So we win the game.
Sorry, he's been on an 8-day bender. Just putting that out there. No. Anyway. Anyone got anything else to add from this game?
No.
Who's the referee?
Come on, let's do it. Let's must win. Let's be the second rival in a row. That'd be good.
These are the games. Tank
West.
Who's the referee this weekend?
Well, probably same bloke.
Probably. Wouldn't surprise me, mate.
Let's get to our bowl predictions. I'm going
to
go first.
Have we got one to go first, Matty?
Have we got Hayden's?
What? No. I've got like a little video that Hayden sent for me to play, but it's not loading on here, so I'll just post it on the Facebook page.
You could
page.
Say it was gone in a flash.
Thank you. Quick as a flash.
You've got to mention it, so we can't have double up, so maybe just quickly mention it.
What?
What his predictions are.
No, he hasn't. He just done a video on what he thinks the games are. Like the game.
No, about if he's not here, he doesn't get a say.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go first. Well, that's a hard one. I think it's going to be a bit of a bludger of a game, to be honest. I'm expecting a little bit like a, I don't want to say it, a bit of a reserve grade standard game in a way. I think we'll get the win, but I think it'll be like 22-4 or something like that. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in the game. I think there'll be a lot of chances and a lot of
mistakes. Is that your final
offer?
Score? Is that your score?
Yeah. 22-4, and I'm going to go Guff had a score of 24 points. I was joking.
But how does he score 24 points? You got the breakdown?
Mitch isn't there, so Guffo will be kicking anyway. Or Arcee will kick it, the goals.
Arcee might kick the goals.
Nah.
I'm going 22 super coach. Anyway, I'm going 22-4.
So 22-4.
Yeah. And I'm going first try scorer. I'm going to Sean Russell first try scorer. And my bold prediction, I was actually going to go 5 tries out of that 22, by the way, because I reckon goal kicking is going to be a struggle. But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say a back 3 to all score a try. So Gutho, Russell, Siva.
Well, Mike is a special at Gombank.
He's a special to do something stupid as well, but we won't get into that.
Like let a player steal the ball one-on-one.
All right, let's do a quick story time. Story time with Talking Power. Blake behind me sitting there goes, this is literally about 2 minutes before, he goes, Parramatta used to have a really good Fiji in those semi-someone, wasn't he? I was like, yeah, he goes, is Sivo as good as him? Mate, there must have been about 6 of us all in a close vicinity listening to his conversations, turned around and went, no. Just like within seconds. Literally, only 30 seconds later, that happened. And I was like, see, I told you. I told you so.
He has scored more tries than Semi too.
Yeah, but...
by one.
Well, Semi still ran 1,000 more metres for his tries. All right, Joel, what do you got?
Just quickly...
Stop, Joel. Troy, I need to give Joel some more time. Go.
Yeah, go.
Okay.
Go, Troy.
All right. You ready for it?
Yeah.
No, I was more so, I was waiting because I was quickly going to bring up a talking point. Wonga Blake, he's now back. Is he a really realistic chance of getting back into this side? And I can see it being a winger. So does that mean Micah now has a bit of pressure for once? Because he's played for so long, it feels like, without pressure.
He's had pressure from Lumi Lumi anyway.
Lumi Lumi and Dunster. Dunster hasn't been half the player he used to be, so he's sort of been forgotten about. He's probably maybe looking at getting sold soon. Who knows? But I personally feel like if Wanga can find the form we've seen him have, especially I think it was late last year.
Jeez, you're a bit harsh, Joel. I mean, he's come back from a major serious knee injury.
I understand that, but we're here to win games, Troy. We can't just be playing people because of a sympathy vote.
No, like, we can't. You're right. You can't.
I'm sorry. Have you met us?
The fabric is he hasn't been good since he's been back, and yeah. So if Wonga Blake can come back and put a few games together on the wing, say in reserve grade, I personally feel like he could be finally someone who puts pressure on Micah and put some of these silly areas out of his game.
He won't play wing in reserve grade; he'll play in the centres. And I don't think you can judge any individual off that reserve grade team now because. By selling Jake Arthur to Manly, letting him go and not signing another half, we've essentially said we don't give a fuck about the New South Wales Cup team. They'll be lucky to win another game.
Now Arthur's gone as well, so.
Yes, we know, 100%. They've got nothing there. They've got absolutely nothing to offer. I feel sorry for the blokes down there who are on the cusp of first grade who probably won't get
anything. They had Mama Sia playing 5'8".
100%.
A front rower playing 5'8". What are they doing? Yeah.
Like I said,
it 40-0 at half time?
Well, now if they're not injured, now it's the time to raise the blokes from lower grades.
But they're all injured.
100%.
That's what I'm saying. When they come back from injury,
Matty Arthur, things like that.
So Matty Arthur, Saunders, Talangi.
When they're back from injury, slot them up in the
camp. Here's the thing now.
That's if Saunders doesn't end up at frigging Tigers.
New South Wales Cup are not going to play finals football. Jersey Flegs sit fourth or fifth. So if you move those players out of Jersey Flegs, yeah, you essentially ruin their chance to win your comp.
Yeah.
So it's a hard one now. It's a really hard one. But for me, you're right, we need to get those players up in New South Wales Cup because we released Jake Arthur knowing that Saunders was coming through. We need to now... We should not have released a player if we didn't think he was ready to play that grade. So he probably has to come in because if Saunders had stepped in 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I know he's injured at the moment, obviously, because he hasn't been getting named in Jersey Flegg, but if he'd stepped in 2 or 3 weeks ago in a New South Wales Cup when Arthur was released, he could have the 7 jersey on his back this week. If the kid's as good as what they think he is, they could have thrown him in the deep end this week. He's only matched up against another young kid in Jake Arthur. I know he's got a bit more experience under his belt, but he's still not that experienced. It's not like he's going out and playing Jonathan Thurston. So, You know, it's one of the things that grinds with our club and they do wrong. But now we're in an awkward situation. Like I said, I feel sorry for those players on the fringe of first grade because if the team gets getting thrashed like that, they're not going to get a look in. They're going to carry no confidence when they come into first grade. I feel sorry for any young kids coming into that team because half the blokes, they don't even want to be there, to be honest.
When do the last two spots have to be filled by?
August.
It's
August 7th or something that's made now. August 6th. You can literally sign. That's why they're saying Tuivasa Sheck will sign with the Warriors this year. Because by then, it'll be all good.
Rugby will be over and he can just come in, slot straight in.
Yeah.
He can sign a dollar contract and slot straight in. Market value is only a rule they made for Para. I'm telling you.
Israel Folau.
We have gone way off.
Yeah. Off anyway,
Joel, go for it, mate. What's your thoughts?
I'll go 20-12 to the Eels. I think I'm with Adam. I reckon it might be a bit of a bludger. Might fall asleep from this one, but we'll see. I'll go first try scorer, Panasini. I'm going in the Panasini boat this time. I've loved him at the moment. He's given me a bit of something in the pants. So.
No ranting, Will.
No, he's on fire.
I thought you were talking about Dick Panasini when you said talking about him.
I'll go the King's going to back up and get another hat-trick 2 weeks in a row.
Hang on. What was your score? 20?
20.
So
what?
He's going to get...
I reckon he'll score the tries.
And kick the goals?
He'll score all three tries, convert all three, and then there'll be a penalty goal early on. Easy. What's wrong with that?
He needs try.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hang on. Let's go back on that. I don't even think about these things anymore. Right. I'm too tired, boys. All right, hang on. My bold prediction. Right. Can I get away with him scoring a double? Is that bold enough?
No,
you're going double. Gutho double.
He's under a lot of stress. He's talked about Davies.
Yeah. I haven't stopped. Davey and Hodgson fired me up again.
Maybe you should get off firing up about people and concentrate on your bold predictions.
No, because I started just thinking about stuff about the club.
Go
and
Troy.
Started making angry.
Okay, RCG first try scorer.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's bold for you.
Nah, you know what I reckon it is? He knows they'll do that, the play they done against Cronulla. They'll run that play they done against Cronulla, and RCG will get through.
Well,
20-16, so close. Yeah, hopefully he awards his own try.
20-16, we're going to be panicking, boys. Like,
yes. Well, it's one of those games, isn't it? And sort of similar to Joel's one there. In the game, bold prediction, in the game, Gutho to kick all these goal-kicking opportunities. So after the tries. And a first up...
Yeah, we know what a goal.
First up penalty penalty goal.
Oh, he's trying to throw the Adam trick. Yeah,
he wants those 100 points.
Well, yeah, I've been robbed a few times, so I need to get back up there. So.
Oh, robbed. Here we go.
Yeah, actually picking the first try scorer a couple of times. So.
All right, Matt, fire away.
You know what's funny? he's not going to get it because Arsie will do the kicking. You are.
Well, yeah, look, I even got the bold prediction before the game as well, which we spoke about. I think Sean Lane will play and Andrew Davey won't. So.
Oh, please.
But that's before the game, so probably won't count.
All right.
Thanks,
Matt.
Troy.
Hang on. I'm still writing the essay Troy just gave me.
I'll send it to you in a message, mate, so you can write it down later.
All right, so I'm going to go Para 36 to 16. I think we'll score quite big at home. I think Arcee will... I've got Arcee first try scorer again. And my bold prediction is I've got Gutho 4 tries this.
How many of them will be off kicks?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
So you get extra points if you get that right.
Yeah.
I'm going to say two kicks, 2 passes.
Okay. Well, geez, you get bonus points for that one.
And how many of those 2 kicks could he have easily passed?
Both of them.
Supercoach, he's a captain this week.
That's our bold prediction. Yeah. I don't think we've got that many questions in the question box this week.
No,
we've
got
no.
No,
maybe not.
It's just all your brother.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all it is. It's just all your brother.
The regulars.
Maybe he's gone to sleep, I think, maybe.
Either that or he's passed out in a Japan bar.
Well, that's what he's been talking about. So the beers are 9% and $1.50 Australian dollar. So
bargain.
The good thing is we'll enjoy the moment while we've got him, because when he gets back, I'm pretty sure he's going to rehab.
Oh, no, he's back.
He's back. He's awake.
He's back.
I'll tell you what, Hayden must have taken some of our regular fans on a movie date, because some of them aren't here tonight.
Yeah, they've all gone to watch the Flash, mate.
Must be something we don't know about.
Flash.
We're not flashing. All right. Take us out, Troy.
Anyway, thank you very much for watching the Facebook Live. It'll be on YouTube as well. 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. Big game, Manly and Parramatta. The 81, 82, 83 and 86 legends are going to be there. So hoping for a big crowd there. Get some photos, get some autographs of the 80s legends. This will be out on Apple and Spotify pretty soon, so please subscribe and follow on Facebook as well and Instagram as well. So thank you very much for listening. Go Para.
Go Para.